to come in and assist, investigate, and do as she needs to do on this case with Michael Bell, as well as other Gina Six.
I want to thank you all for being with us. And finally, Katrina, one more time, that address that you gave out, Katrina Wallace, Secretary of LaSalle Parish, NAACP.
Yes, it's the Gina Six Defense Committee, P.O. Box 2798, Gina, J-E-N-A, Louisiana, 71342.
I want to thank you all for being with us. Katrina Wallace, Casepla Bailey, and Jordan Flaherty. Democracy Now!, democracynow.org is our website. Democracy Now! Is produced by Mike Burke, Shruf Habokadoush, John Hamilton, Elizabeth Bressar, and Matei Anjali Kamat, Jay Babalota, Jeffrey Hagerman, Nicole Salazar. Special thanks to Kouros Ismaili and Jackie Suwin. I'm Amy Goodman. Our website, democracynow.org. Thanks for joining us.
And you are listening to radio station WUSB in Stony Brook. It's 6 p.m. Time now for Off the Wall. And a very good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. It's Emmanuel Goldstein here with you for the next hour or so. as we recover from the 4th of July and all the other fun that went along with it. And we'll be taking phone calls today, or trying to anyway. Area code 631-632-WUSB. That's our phone number. Country code of 1 if you're outside the country, and I suppose we can start around 1:30 if there are people out there wanting to give us a call. It's not necessarily restricted to people in other parts of the world. You can call locally as well. And if you do that, you don't have to dial the area code, at least not from a landline. From a cell phone, you do. But one of the many ways that we make things easier for people here. This show, I'd kind of like to focus on some local things, only because I find that to be interesting to people in other parts of the world, because you learn something about the world that we're coming from, which oftentimes is a very strange and bizarre place. And maybe, just maybe, you'll be able to find some parallels to your world, and we can learn from each other and make the whole place even better. We'll see. Let's see what's going on around here. Lots of things. Lots of crazy things, in fact. I just learned something on the way in here. It's just, if I sound a little stunned, it's because I just learned this on the way in here. And it's kind of stunning. It really is, this news. Now, Stony Brook is where we broadcast from, the State University of New York at Stony Brook. Big, sprawling institution, state institution. All kinds of fun things go on here, including this radio station. And lately, the place has been basically taken over by sports, and every way you look, there's some indication of our sports ranking somewhere. We're in Division A, and we're in 20th place somewhere. I don't know. Everyone is obsessed with this. Not everyone, but a lot of people. Too many people, I think. So, apparently, we've ranked in another list, which is not being spread around quite as much. And do you know what that list is? It's one of 33 places in the country. Only 33 places in the country qualify for this. And do you know what it is that we qualify for right here at the State University of New York at Stony Brook, where I am sitting right now at this moment? We qualify to have our image, our map, our presence on this globe. We qualify to have that blurred and obscured by Google. Yeah, I'm not kidding. If you go to Google Maps, the great utility where you can pretty much spy on everybody, not Street View. Street View is something else, but Google Maps just allows you to look down at buildings and streets and things like that. You will find that for some reason that I'm trying to ascertain even as I speak, the entire campus is blurred, obscured, made more difficult to look at. If you zoom down to where it gets interesting, you won't be able to see anything. Now, I have to ask myself, what in God's name in this place is so secretive and sensitive that it has to be obscured from people looking at it? What do we have to hide? I'd like to know, because I'd like to see it. When I went to this place, it was exactly the opposite. It was exactly the opposite. Everybody was exploring and learning and sharing information. It was a hacker's dream. We'd figure out ways to get into the tunnel system that connects all the buildings together. And now, if you even talk about doing that, you're seen as a criminal. We'd figure out ways to get into buildings after they were closed. We had the whole campus at our disposal because they bought into the whole simplex lock nonsense. Those are those five-button locks. They either come in circles or vertically. You push a button, you push a series of buttons and open the door. Well, guess what? There's only about 1,000 possible combinations, and it takes a few minutes to get through them all. So when they started using those to lock up offices, including the president's office, including libraries, various other places, it just basically threw the doors wide open for anybody who was curious enough to wander around late at night. And yeah, 3-4 o'clock in the morning, we found ourselves in some pretty amazing, interesting places that we weren't supposed to be. Didn't steal anything, didn't cause any vandalism. We weren't criminals. We were just exploring. We were just being a bit mischievous. That's what goes on a campus. And somewhere along the line, we've lost that. Somewhere along the line, we've gotten all crazy and paranoid and assumed that the whole world is out to get us. And now, our image must be blurred so that the rest of the world can't see. It's really kind of sad, you know, a college campus of all places trying to hide. Of course, I don't know who did this. I'd like to know. I'd like to, if anybody out there understands how you blur an image on Google, by all means, share that information. What I'm going to do is tell you some of the other places, because some of these are also surprising. First, let me tell you about us. All right, we're listed on here. I discovered this, a listener actually wrote in, but there is a Wikipedia site for this, of course. There's a Wikipedia site for everything. It's called List of Places Blurred Out on Google. No kidding, they actually have quite a bit of information on this. So Stony Brook University is listed, and I'm probably going to get in trouble for saying this, but you know what? I don't care. The world has the right to know. Stony Brook University is at 40 degrees, 54, I don't know exactly how to say it, all right? 54, I'm going to say feet and inches because that's, I know it's degrees. There's something, but I'm going to say it wrong if I say it the other way. One quote means feet, one double quote means inches, all right? And just translate them to whatever it is when you're giving out coordinates. All right, so we got 40 degrees, 52 feet, 4.20 inches north. By 72 degrees, oh, you know what? I'm sorry, I'm giving out the wrong coordinates. That's Brookhaven National Laboratories. And I could see they might have a reason to obscure what they're doing over there. They're, you know, a federal laboratory of various sorts. But, you know, if our houses can be seen by everybody, why not let everything be seen by everybody? Everything you can see from the sky. After all, the Russians are seeing it, the Chinese are seeing it, the North Koreans are seeing it. Why can't we see it? Okay, Stony Brook, 40 degrees, 54 feet, 58.42 inches north. By 73 degrees, 07 feet, 24.98 inches west. And yes, I know, they're not feet, they're not inches. Here are some of the other places. I don't know what you can do with that information. I really don't. You can point, I mean, if you just go to Google Maps, you'll get that information anyway, so I'm not really giving you anything that's that incredible. Brookhaven National Laboratory in Upton, New York, that's also blurred. Get this, the White Plains train station. White Plains, New York. What in God's name is so special about their train station that they have to blur it? I want to know. I'm going to go up there, and I'm going to look around their train station now. And I'll find whatever it is they're trying to hide. Don't think I won't. What else? The home of William Hurt? Oh, come on. This is getting silly now. The home of William Hurt. That's got to be a joke. Naval Observatory / residence of Vice President Dick Cheney. Oh, boy. Might have guessed he'd be first on the list to blur his home. He blurs everything else. Why not that? A section of Great Bay near New Jersey? I don't get that one either. Building corridors in Pittsburgh. Who cares? Who cares about anything in Pittsburgh? Westchester County Airport in White Plains, New York. Here we go. It's like somebody in White Plains got all paranoid and said, well, you got to block the train station. You got to block the airport. Plum Island Animal Disease Center. Now, that's an interesting place. That's an island right off the coast of Long Island. If you go far to the east, go to Orient Point. That's the North Fork. And look out over the water. You'll see in the distance this ominous-looking island. And that's where they actually do research into all sorts of animal diseases translated to. That's where they conduct the germ warfare experiments. And occasionally a rabid deer gets loose and swims across the water and all kinds of mayhem ensues. So, yeah, we got that. That's blurred. Can sort of understand that one, even though I'd sure like to know what's going on there more than I'd want to see it blurred. The Shoreham Nuclear Power Plant in Wading River, New York. That's about 10 miles away from here. Yeah, but, you know, folks, in case you don't know, the Shoreham Nuclear Power Plant was decommissioned ages ago. It never went online. Never went online. So what is exactly the sensitive part of that? An abandoned nuclear power plant. Yeah, that's a good thing to blur. Indian Point Energy Center in Westchester. Again, Westchester people being paranoid. Can't see the nuclear power plant. What exactly do you gain by seeing a nuclear power plant? I was inside one when Shoreham was likely to open before all the activists were able to shut it down, myself included. I was able to get into the Shoreham nuclear power plant. That's another hack right there. No, I didn't crack their simplex lock. I got an actual press pass because, hey, we're the media here. That's right. We became the media a long time ago and got a bona fide tour of the place. It was pretty scary. I guess that couldn't happen today, even if it's abandoned. So, yeah, Indian Point. How about this? The United States Military Academy camp. It's the United States Military Academy in Camp Buckner, the summer installation. I don't know if that means it's not around in the winter. I don't even know where that is exactly, but that's blurred as well. Cape Cod AFS-PAVE PAWS radar. I don't even know what I'm talking about here. But something up in Massachusetts that they're very sensitive about, having to do with radar and Cape Cod and AFS-PAVE PAWS. The Perry Nuclear Power Plant, I'm not sure where that is either. The Pilgrim Nuclear Station of Plymouth, I think we're up in Massachusetts. Has this, the Liquid Natural Gas Terminal in Chelsea, Massachusetts. So we've gone beyond nuclear power plants, and now we're into natural gas. Yeah, natural gas terminals, we're going to block those. Why not just simply, while on the subject of gas, why not just blur every single gas station? Because after all, terrorists could see one of those and figure out where to drop a bomb. I assume that's what this is all about. Then a large portion of an industrial port area in Boston, the MIT Lincoln Laboratory, Hanscom Field and Hanscom Air Force Base, that is, also in Massachusetts. All this is in Massachusetts. The Salem Harbor Power Station. And then back in New York, the Knowles Atomic Power Laboratory and General Electric World Research Laboratories up in Schenectady. Over in New Hampshire, the Seabrook Nuclear Power Station. Back in New York, the Syracuse Hancock International Airport. Oh, yeah, I've always wanted to see that place. God forbid that got out, the Syracuse Hancock International Airport. Then in Seneca, South Carolina, the Duke Power Nuclear Plant. Can't see that. Back over in Poughkeepsie, IBM, the headquarters of IBM. Obscured, blurred, cannot see it. The University of Massachusetts Lowell Nuclear Research Reactor. That's blurred. Hydroelectric dams and supporting waterways near Niagara Falls, New York, and Niagara Falls, Ontario. And the central eastern village of Yona on the Pacific Island territory of Guam, where America's Day begins. Does it really begin there or does it end there? I thought that was where it ended. Well, maybe I'm wrong. But yeah, you can't see that. Can't see the that village of Vona on Guam. Sorry. A couple more here. MasterCard corporate offices. Yeah, no kidding. MasterCard corporate offices. Manhattanville College. Damon and Tenney dormitories in Purchase, New York. Those all seem to be together. Right? It's kind of weird in and of itself. Marshall Steam Station in Terrell, North Carolina. And down to the last two, the Greater Rochester International Airport and the General Electric Main Plant in Schenectady, both in New York. This is incredible. And the fact that Stony Brook is on that list of places on Google Maps that are blurred and obscured really rubs me the wrong way. So what I suggest is that if anyone has access to any of these places, take as many pictures as you possibly can, and let's start a website. Let's start a website for all those places that have been shut out of Google and blurred. And let's have nice, crisp, clear pictures, better pictures, in fact, than you would ever have on Google Maps. I'll get started here at Stony Brook. I'll take pictures of all sorts of things, from the air, from the ground, from underground, all over the place. And if this happens every time somebody tries to hide something, then maybe people will hide things less, or governments will hide things less, or institutions, and maybe the paranoia level will just go down a slight bit. I know it's not going to happen. We live in an age where everybody's out to get us. But wouldn't it be nice just to take a step in the other direction for a change? We didn't always used to be this way. You know, looking back at history, even 20 years ago, This country was a much nicer place. We weren't as uptight and scared constantly. Looking at our neighbors and wanting to be monitored and spied upon and going to war all over the planet. No, it didn't happen quite like that. I mean, yeah, there were a lot of messed up things going on. A lot of problems, but nothing like this. So for those of you new to the planet, new to the country, who think it's always been like this, it hasn't. It hasn't. All right, so that's a little bit of Long Island news there, I guess. But how about this? This is what's really bothering people around here these days. We had fireworks over 4th of July, as most places in the country did. I happened to see the ones in New York City that were being launched from the East River. But they canceled the ones that were supposed to be happening at Jones Beach, which is on the south shore of Long Island. Yeah, and it caused a big controversy because they didn't reschedule them. A day after thousands of holiday revelers left Jones Beach without seeing the 4th of July fireworks show, state parks officials announced on Thursday they wouldn't reschedule the event because they never planned a rain date. Never planned a rain date. The state is considering setting a rain date for next year because, according to George Gorman, director of operations of the Long Island region of the New York State Office. Oh, good Lord, already. George Gorman, director of operations of the Long Island region of the New York State Office of Parks, Recreation, and Historic Preservation. What do you want to bet he answers the phone like that? If your title is that long, you know, you're probably not doing anything worthwhile. I'm sorry. If it takes that long to explain, to justify your position, no, there's got to be something you're covering up. Anyway, this guy said, we don't want to face the possibility of having to cancel again. That's why they want to set up a rain day for next year. In its application to the U.S. Coast Guard, the Parks Department has not indicated a rain date in the event's previous 12 years because of concerns it would be too costly and difficult to coordinate the effort a second time. I don't get this. What is so hard about lighting off a bunch of fireworks? Oh, yeah, you got to coordinate it, obviously. You got to put them in the right place. But you know what? You don't even have to tell people. You don't have to worry about crowd control. It's Jones Beach. There's always going to be people there. One day you just surprise everybody and light off the fireworks. Or you tell people and have them come down and let them deal with the traffic on their own. But to just cancel it altogether, first of all, you already bought the fireworks. You already bought them, so why not use them? The state considered rescheduling for Labor Day weekend, but decided against it primarily because turnout would not be as high. What kind of logic is that? We're going to cancel it altogether and have nobody see these fireworks because if we schedule them for Labor Day, not as many people would have seen them as would have come if we hadn't canceled them in the first place. Is it just me? Does that make no sense at all? The North Fork Bank Fireworks Spectacular was scheduled to blast off from a barge full of pyrotechnics off the coast of the park's Central Mall on Wednesday at 9:30 p.m., rain or shine, but it doesn't quite work that way. As thunderstorms swept the metropolitan area, waves 8 to 10 feet high stranded the barge as it tried to leave New York Harbor in the afternoon. The barge and tugboat captains, along with program producer Bay Fireworks, called off the show, and officials delivered the news of the cancellation of the loudspeakers at 5:40 p.m. to a bunch of really angry people. Now, Nassau County legislator Dave Denenberg, Democrat out of Merrick, said, "You scratch your head as to why New York City can pull it off, and we had to cancel it. It's mind-boggling. Oh, my God. Stupidity has just been redefined, and its location is Merrick. This guy really doesn't understand 8 to 10 foot waves and how that could be a problem. Let me just explain something as a non-oceanographer, marine biologist. I don't know anything about any of this. But legislator Dave Denenberg, you don't have 8 to 10 foot waves on the East River. If you did, you'd probably be evacuating most of New York City. It's different. The high seas are different from a river. So your mind can stop boggling over that. I mean, this is silly. The amount of silliness that comes out in one particular news story is just, that's what's mind-boggling. Anyway, Denenberg said his office has fielded about 30 complaints from angry people who don't understand tides and wind and things like that either. North Fork Bank paid about $55,000 for the fireworks, which are still sitting in New York Harbor, by the way. Yeah, they're still there. Free for the taking. Well, I don't know about that. Not trying to encourage people. But Bay Fireworks President Charles Rappa said he hopes to unload the fireworks this week and store them in Huntington Station Company's warehouses for next year's show. Let's face it, it's a letdown. But that's Mother Nature. Damn her anyway. It's kind of inappropriate, but that's the kinds of controversies that are going on here on Long Island right now. And then we move over to one of my favorite topics. Oh, my God, this is going to be painful. I'm all in favor. Don't get me wrong. I am all in favor of people having their say, of people speaking out. That's what I've been involved in for years. That's what we do here at this radio program. However, you do have to maintain some semblance of control. And no, that is not censorship. That's called guiding the topics, the subject matter, in a productive, constructive, intelligent manner. That's why we don't just open up the phone lines and walk away. That's why we stay here and try to get people to talk about something interesting. And if it strays from the subject a little bit, well, then we move back or go on to another call. That's why newspapers have editors. You don't just print whatever anybody writes, whether they work for you or not. You know what you have if you do that? You have something called Usenet. If you don't know what Usenet is, well, consider yourself lucky for one thing. But basically, it's news groups on the internet, unmoderated news groups on the internet, where basically anybody says anything they want. You know, maybe it's therapeutic, but without any kind of control or moderation or guidance, it quickly deteriorates into nothing worth reading. Now, Wikipedia, on the other hand, which I thought was going to go down the same road, has surprised me and a lot of people by becoming one of the best sources of information out there. And it's because people are watching over it, correcting things when they're wrong, dealing with people who are idiots who just want to disrupt things. So why is it that the newspaper that serves this area, the daily newspaper that has a world reputation, and I'm speaking of Newsday, why don't they get this? Why don't they get this very basic premise? Instead, what they do, we've talked about this before, they print stories on their website, and then they open up the doors for people to comment on it, and they do not moderate what people say. They just sort of stand back and let the idiots take over. And what this does is present a very bad picture of what Long Islanders are all about. If you read the website, if you read the stories on the website, you would think we're just a bunch of racist morons who don't care about anybody but ourselves and just really speak in order to hear our voices. And I'll give you an example of this. Like I said, this is painful. But I really think something should be done about this because this represents us. This is a major newspaper representing our area and making us look like idiots by basically allowing any idiot in the world to spout their venom. All right, there is an attack. And this is, the news is bad enough. the real news is bad enough. It makes us look pretty disgusting as it is, but the commentary on top of that. Suffolk County hate crime detectives are looking for a man who walked into a 7-Eleven store in Oakdale. Oakdale is right around here. It's to the south a little bit. And for no apparent reason, punched the store clerk in the face and yelled, "You terrorist." Yeah, that happened on Friday. It really happened. The incident, which was recorded on the store's surveillance video, occurred around 1 p.m. on June 13th. I don't know why we're just finding out about it now. The story came out on July 6th. And the store is located on Sunrise Highway down there in Oakdale. The suspect was described by police as a white male, about 30 to 35 years old, with a stocky to heavy build, facial hair, short, possibly brown hair, and wearing jeans and a gray hooded sweatshirt. Of course, all that could have changed in the month that it took to find out about the story. The clerk, a 56-year-old man, was knocked to the ground and not identified by police. Okay, there's your story right there. What can you say? What can you say about a story like that? My God, what kind of animals live amongst us? Innocent people being attacked because of their nationality? What kind of hateful society have we become? How can we be better? What can we do to prevent this kind of a thing? Is it education? Is it the way the media portrays certain people? Do our parents teach us this hatred? These are interesting discussions, interesting points to bring up. But if you read the commentary, and there were about 100 comments last I checked on this story, it didn't take very long. In fact, it was one of the first couple of comments, number three, actually, where they basically just jump into the race card right away. Newsday does it again. A white guy does a crime, and it's all over. White male. But when the blacks commit crimes every day, they say male 6 foot tall. Pathetic, Newsday. You should be ashamed and embarrassed. So basically, that sets the tone right there, that this is all going to be about us versus them, about the black people versus the white people. Even though black people weren't even involved in this story at all, they're still going to bring it up and set the tone for the whole discussion. And, of course, this got the reply soon afterwards. Blacks don't commit crime. Obviously sarcastic. Next person responded, so true. It is always safe to assume when Newsday does not reveal the race of a suspect, he is indeed black. It always states the suspect is white if he indeed is. Newsday is biased and racist towards whites. First of all, I've never even encountered this. I think these people are talking out of their asses. But they're going to keep saying it, and it's going to become the truth because they keep saying it, and more people will agree with them. If there even are more people, it's not just the same person posting over and over again. Here's a reasonable person. They do exist. A reasonable person posted this. I don't know what's wrong with these people. You just can't blame the whole community with a few stupid fanatics. I totally think it's a matter of racial crime. It's very sad that these people, like those who did this attack, are narrow-minded. The reply to that, in all caps, yes, you can. When 85% of Muslims are fanatical anti-American freaks that you read about their killing spree every day, you can make that assumption. When terrorists become primarily white married men in their 50s, then you can change your assumptions. The mudslimes did this to themselves. So basically now, you have Long Island commenting on this hate crime, supporting it, saying the mudslimes did this to themselves. Oh, I know it's only one lunatic saying it. But imagine if all these comments were printed in the newspaper as letters to the editor. What would you think then? Would you say, oh, it's just free speech, just what people, you know, you got to let the morons speak as well as the intelligent people. Well, unfortunately, the morons dominate when you give them an open forum like this. I've seen it time and time again. Here's another comment. I agree. These guys will smile at you, sell you your Marlboros and Slurpees, and stab you in the back if given a chance. Example, there was a gas station on Neighborhood Road in Mastic Beach that was raided, and there were photos and plans of major buildings in the city that were targets. The guys were arrested, and a new group now runs the station. Okay. He's not even going to mention the fact that, yeah, they just were found with pictures and nothing else. That's kind of weird. Regardless, the guys were arrested. A new group now runs the station. Ever notice how many gas stations are run by these people? What if they were all waiting for a signal from someone, and one day they blow up all the stations at the same time? How could the fire departments respond to something of this magnitude? Think about it, people. There are too many bleeding hearts in our society, and it's going to cost us big time. These people plant themselves among us, take on small jobs, and could be waiting until they are strong enough in numbers and unleash their destruction. It's the old Trojan horse, and it's happening right under our noses. Yeah. It's like opening it up to the Klan, you know, and just basically saying, say whatever you want, and Newsday will put its name on it. This person says, I don't agree with a lot of the writings that go on in these forums, but I'm thinking you're onto something. A direct response to that latest comment. Other people get into the spirit. Right on, man. The hell with the terrorists. Right on. Yeah, let's attack more of them in 7-Elevens. All caps. 7-Eleven Smackdown coming to a theater near you. Who really cares about these dotheads? Yeah, all 7-Elevens are employing these illegal camel jockeys and expect the good people of Long Island to put up with this type of nonsense. All camel jockeys should be eliminated from society once and for all. These smelly people destroy the quality of life that Long Island once had. Destroy all illegal mutts. Yeah, these people are everywhere. Not the people he's talking about. These people that say this kind of nonsense, this kind of idiocy, they're everywhere. They're all over the place, and they're legitimized by giving them a forum. And not only that, the thing that I find really amazing, Newsday does go through and take out inappropriate posts. This was not one of them. This one was left. And you can tell because the numbers skip. There are some numbers that are erased. This was not one of them. Perfectly okay to call people dotheads and to say they should be wiped from the face of the earth. Yeah, that's just an opinion. We respect your opinion, Newsday. We will print everything that anybody sends us. Continuing, they will always honor their country first. They come here to establish themselves, but if a war broke out against their country and the U.S., then they are no longer Americans. They will turn on us in a heartbeat. I don't condone violence, but they can't be trusted. And this person responding to that says, I hope they do so, meaning I hope they attack us. That way we can charge them under the Alien and Sedition Act and hang them. I think it's a joke. It's not a joke. These people are really here. And if you give them positions of power, they will really play out these little scenarios that are right now just dancing around inside their heads with all the vacant space in there. Here's somebody responding to Newsday's alleged racial bias. White male, again, when it's a minority, Newsday never describes the race. All white people call the Newsday advertisers to start a boycott. I was a subscriber for 10 years. I finally got sick of them and canceled. They called me and asked me why I canceled and tried to get me to come back. I told them to get one of their undocumented workers to take over my subscription. Right. Okay. Real intelligent there. Here's another letter writer. This is amazing. I thought I was the only one who thought they were in on it. I swear on 9/11, I was waiting for every Muslim-owned gas station to be blown up at the same time all over the country, especially the ones who covered their stores and American flags within hours of the attacks. I was like, how did they get so many flags so fast? It could still happen. One word from their mullah and it's all over. Throw them all out of the country before it's too late. I'm skipping over a lot because we only have an hour. In fact, I think that pretty much says it right there. The question is, what do we do about this? What do we do to stop this hatred from being spread around in our name with the endorsement of Newsday? It's not right. Here's another story. I'm only going to spend a minute on this one because this really gets disturbing. Gay man killed after refugee claim denied. You might have heard about this story. Enrique Villegas, 35 years old, was found dead in his apartment in Mexico City on April 7th, just over 4 years after the Canadian Immigration and Refugee Board rejected his refugee claim. Friends of a former Vancouver resident murdered in Mexico, whose refugee claim was rejected by Canada, are claiming he was killed because he was gay and calling into question this country's attitude toward queer refugees seeking asylum. Well, what do you think Newsday's response to that, or Newsday readers' response to that is? Nobody wants gays in their country, not Canada, not Mexico, and not the USA. Someone else posted, Spanish is, I don't know how they got into this, Spanish is the official language of Mexico. Non-Mexicans cannot own land in Mexico. Why do the wetbacks whine when everything is already in English and Spanish? Why do Latinos call themselves Latinos? This goes on forever and ever. And basically, it's like somebody blows a whistle and racist to the table. Let's all go see how quickly we can get to the crazy part of our minds. So I don't know. Go to newsday.com, see for yourself, see the kind of crap they're showing over there and allowing to be spread around. It's really sad. Very sad things in our local newspaper. You go to the New York Times, you don't see this. You see forums, you see people commenting on the news, they stick on topic, and yeah, they debate, they argue. But you don't open it up to these horrible people, these horrible racists. Okay, so we move away from Long Island for now. Don't get me wrong, a lot of intelligent people here. A lot of people that really do get it. But they're overshadowed by the ones who speak loudly and shout out everybody else. This is a crazy story that does not involve Long Island. Oh, and by the way, our phone number is 631-632-6000. 972-631-632-WUSB. Be taking phone calls in just a moment or two as soon as the phone lines start to ring. And I'd like to see a minimum of at least two calls come in before we go to the phones. In case it's one of those people, you know, could be. They listen to radio as well. Justice Scalia, you might know that name. He's one of the most powerful judges on the planet. The job of the veteran U.S. Supreme Court judge is to ensure that the superpower lives up to its constitution. But in his free time, he is a fan of, guess what, folks? Guess what? The show 24. The same program I talk about on this radio program many times. In fact, a lot of people come up to me and say, Emmanuel, why do you even bother taking that show seriously? In fact, why even mention television? You should be ignoring television and not acknowledging its existence. Yeah, you know, that's real intelligent to ignore something you don't like and pretend it'll go away. It doesn't work that way. And as for the program itself, the reason I focus on the program is because it focuses on a lot of issues that people are discussing, that are in people's minds. And it's my theory, it's my thought that in so doing, it could influence the way we think about certain situations, fictitious though they may be. Fiction has a way of somehow evolving in our minds into reality. So yeah, Supreme Court Judge Antonin Scalia is a fan of 24, the popular TV drama where the maverick federal agent Jack Bauer routinely tortures terrorists to save American lives. Now, Judge Scalia was at a recent conference in Canada. Senior judges from North America and Europe were in a panel discussion, which happened to be discussing torture and terrorism law. A Canadian judge's passing remark was this. Thankfully, security agencies in all our countries do not subscribe to the mantra, "What would Jack Bauer do?" Well, that woke Judge Scalia up. This is what he said. "Jack Bauer saved Los Angeles." I think he might have forgotten it was a television show, but this is what he actually said. Jack Bauer saved Los Angeles. He saved hundreds of thousands of lives. Then, recalling season 2, where the agent's rough interrogation tactics saved California from a terrorist nuke, the Supreme Court judge etched a line in the sand. "Are you going to convict Jack Bauer?" Judge Scalia challenged his fellow judges. "Say that criminal law is against him? You have the right to a jury trial. Is any jury going to convict Jack Bauer? I don't think so." So the question is really whether we believe in these absolutes, and ought we believe in these absolutes? So, yeah, you know, folks, we've arrived. We've arrived at the state where it's so crazy and so screwed up in our land that Supreme Court justices get their guidance from a second-rate television program. And because it's portrayed in a way where torture actually saves somebody's lives, a lot of lives, perhaps, in an impossible scenario. And we've gone over this many times, all the amazing impossibilities that take place in that program. Because, however, it works in that bit of fiction, we're going to actually apply that to real life. Apply the threat. Apply the so-called heroics. Apply the acceptance of torture. And that, my friends, is why it's important to keep an eye on television, to see what the shows are saying, the doctrines that are being passed around and absorbed into our minds. Yeah, it's important. It does make a difference. To this day, I'm afraid that George W. Bush is a Babylon 5 fan, and he thinks himself as Commander Sheridan fighting out evil all over the universe. You know what? You're not. If we had seen the warning signs, maybe we could have done something about it. Okay, I'd like to read some letters. And again, give out the phone number, 631-632-9872, if there's anything I said that was particularly annoying or offensive. I'd like to hear about it. And if you agree, yeah, okay, I'd like to hear that too. The June 29th Off the Wall. Among the bird calls you played, you inquired if any listeners have heard the whippoorwill. Well, recently on vacation, I was on a hiking trail listening to the June 29th program on my MP3 player. This particular program was interesting because I was having an interesting time distinguishing between the birds I was hearing on the headphones and the birds singing away around me. As to your inquiry, the previous evening, June 30th, at the campsite, I heard a whippoorwill around dusk. I was not in a developed campground. Rather, I tend to do dispersed camping, which is allowed in the state and national forest. The location was approximately 5 miles north of Luther, Michigan. If you drew a line between Cadillac and Baldwin, I would be at around the midpoint. On other trips in the White Cloud, Michigan area, I have also heard whippoorwills, usually at dusk. That's good to know. Good to know they're still somewhere. I wish they were back here. When I go on vacation, the computer stays home, which is why I am just now replying to your request. Signed, Jack from Michigan. Thanks, Jack. Thanks for listening all the way over there in Michigan. Dear Emmanuel, I had high hopes in identifying the bird call for you. We're talking about the bird that still wakes me up to this day. I'd just like to know what kind of bird it is. Rumor is it's a finch. That's the rumor, but nobody knows for sure. I wrote two Dutch friends in Estonia for you who know everything about birds, including their calls. It turns out they know all the European species, which I think is a big accomplishment, but they don't know the American species. So we need an American bird freak to help us out. Signed, Ed from the Netherlands. Well, Ed, thanks for trying. Thanks for trying. Let's see. Dave from Ireland writes in to tell us about this this article on the BBC, which had the following extract, which literally sent me towards the fridge in search of strong alcohol. In Washington, White House spokesman Tony Snow said the U.S. shared Turkey's concerns. This is concerning the military buildup on the Turkish border with Iraq. But that it was, quote, important we think to recognize the territorial sovereignty of Iraq. I don't even know where to begin with a quote like that, particularly when it's coming from the lips of a White House spokesperson. It's statements like his that give people aneurysms. Irony is truly dead. Yeah, you got that right. And continuing with more letters here. Dear Emmanuel, I listen to your show each week with great pleasure and look forward to each fascinating piece of commentary on the subject of the military's policy regarding homosexuality. While I do not approve of the current don't ask, don't tell philosophy and its implication of tacit disapproval, I am unsure if the alternative would be a good thing. I'm afraid that open admission of homosexuality would serve to make gay soldiers targets of persecution from within their ranks. In addition, it is likely that many straight soldiers would feel uncomfortable showering and sleeping with homosexual soldiers. I don't like the idea that people can't be adult enough to work past such fears and stereotypes, but I also am not naive enough to think that there won't be trouble. So, I ask you, can you think of an alternative policy that addresses these issues? The only one I can think of would be don't tell, don't care. Signed, Joe. Well, Joe, I think the way to approach this is to give these people the help they need. They obviously have a big problem. And society has to come to terms with this. And no, I'm not speaking about the gay people. I'm speaking about the straight people who can't seem to deal with it. For God's sake, get over it already. If they're subject to attacks in the military, well, you know what? The people with the problems are the ones attacking them. And they should not be in the military. I know attacks are generally considered a good thing when you're in the military, but not to your fellow soldiers and not to innocent civilians. And I'll bet if they go around attacking their fellow soldiers who happen to have a different sexual orientation than them, they'll be the first ones to attack innocent civilians in a foreign country because they have a different nationality than them. These people should not be in the military. That's the problem. More homosexual soldiers, the better. It makes the whole military a bit more diverse and maybe open to understanding each other. So what, if they're uncomfortable? You know, the world is an uncomfortable place. There are all sorts of things you might be uncomfortable with. And the military is a good place to learn that. It's uncomfortable enough as it is. And on the subject of that, I've heard stories about people who are going around protesting military recruiters, and that's a good thing. And there's got to be more of that. There has to be more protestation of people going into our schools and our shopping malls and trying to get basically naive young people to go and join them with the promise of college tuition and a good job and a nice salary, but never a mention of being sent off to Iraq, never a mention of losing limbs in a war that nobody understands. So, I believe it's our responsibility as citizens. Whenever you see a situation like that, whenever you see the military setting up shop trying to get new recruits, that you also set up shop. Because last I checked, and I checked at about 5:50 before I headed over here, it's still a free country, and you have the right to express your opinion, whether it's in your school, on your street, or in a shopping mall. And if they're going around spreading all these nice myths about the military, well, go around and spread your own news about the military. Make sure people know that there's a war on and they could be sent over there and killed. And maybe show them some pictures of what happens to people over there. Make sure they're telling the full story. You won't get them kicked out. You might get kicked out, in fact. And if you do, raise a holy stink about it. Because you have every right to be telling your story as well. All right, 631-632-9872. Let's see who's out there. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall. Speak up. There's nobody there. Okay. Well, the phone was ringing for a long time, but nobody seems to be there. And I don't think our board is working either, because let's see if we're getting a dial tone. Is that coming out over the board? All right, I guess it is. 631-632-9872. We only have a couple minutes left, so if you want to call us, now is the time to do it. What else is going on? Found a good cartoon. These are always fun. Ready for this one? Cartoon reads as this. Basically, you have a scientist speaking to a lab assistant. And the caption above reads, "The scientific method." The scientist is saying, "Here are the facts. What conclusions can we draw from them?" Next frame, you have a guy speaking to another guy, the creationist method. "Here's the conclusion. What facts can we find to support it?" Yeah, I think that that kind of sums it all up, doesn't it? All right, we're going to try the phone again. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Good evening.
Good evening. Can you speak up a little bit? I'm having trouble hearing you.
Certainly.
Yeah, keep talking.
Actually, I to phone you. Perhaps it's my audio quality on my end.
It might be the audio quality on your end. What are you calling from exactly?
I'm basically just calling from the PC.
You're calling us from the computer?
Correct. Okay. I'm Skyping you.
You're Skyping. Okay. Well, I think you're coming through better now. It's also part of the problem is that the headphones here don't work, so I can't really tell if you're coming over well. But I think you're coming over.
Very good.
Now that we've established that, what's on your mind?
I was honestly just a few kind of housekeeping notes. I noticed that there haven't been show notes for most of the Off the Wall shows and most Off the Hook shows, actually in June for Off the Hook. I just wondered what was up with that.
Actually, they are done. They just have to be put up, and that's just we just have to get to that stage. Expect something within the next week.
Very good.
Sorry for the delay.
More on topic, though. I was curious what's going on with the Hotel Pennsylvania.
Last we checked, the hotel is still on the chopping block. The owners of the hotel, Vornado Corporation, a huge realtor that owns that whole part of the city, wants to build this monstrosity that'll make the place by Penn Station look like Times Square with a big flashy ad to greet all the commuters coming out. And in order to do that, they want to tear down this historic hotel that was around since the turn of the century, the last century. And obviously, it's a place we have our conferences every couple of years. We are planning to have one next year. They assure us the hotel will still be up for at least that period of time. But we want the hotel to remain beyond that. And we're still launching a campaign. And I suggest you visit the Hope forums, which I've got to start visiting again. I sort of fell away from that. But talk.hope.net is where this is all being discussed.
Right. Okay. No, I have been there quite frequently in that, and I also will add that you have dropped off. We've been waiting for you to make some comments.
Yeah, well, you know, when you go to North Korea and you get involved putting out issues and organizing all sorts of other things, I'll tell you, this summer so far has been extremely busy. We've got the CCC camp coming up in August, which I recommend everybody go to, ccc.de. 5-day camp.
Hackers on a plane, right?
There's a hackers on a plane trip, I think, from DEF CON to there. I don't know if that's actually going to happen, is it?
Oh, last I heard, I just know that they had posters all up at the last convention I was at, which was Nauticon in Ohio.
Uh-huh.
And
all right, we'll see if anybody actually does that. There is cheap airfare to get to Europe from various places. Maybe that'll be discussed on the talk.hope.net board as well. But it's the best experience in the world to be at an outdoor camp that's basically a hacker community where you build a network, you have electricity, you have the internet, and you just learn so much in that period of time. In 5 days, I think that's longer than anyone's ever done it before. So I'm really looking forward to this.
Absolutely. It should be a good time. I didn't mean to drive the topic away. It's normally something we would discuss on tomorrow evening's show, but
which is on tomorrow evening. Excuse me. It's also a fundraiser, so pass that news around.
Ah, very good. Well, you definitely have my support, and
all right.
Look forward to hearing. The show is then going to be on tomorrow?
Yes, it will.
Very good.
All right. Thanks for your call.
Oh, absolutely. Take care.
Take care. And let's go to another one. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall. Speak up, please. Oh, look at that. You hung up. You rang the phone for about 5 minutes, and then you hung up as soon as I picked up. Was that your way of getting me? Was that your way of sticking it to the man? I got to say, you showed me something there. All right. Well, you know what? We don't really have time anyway, because Finn's here. He's up next. And we're going to go out with another bit of what I consider to be good news involving Cindy Sheehan. Remember her? The one of the leaders of the peace movement, which has really been going nowhere, and that's one of the reasons she left the peace movement. Well, now she's challenging House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, challenging her to start impeachment proceedings against President Bush. And, you know, this bothered me. It bothered me no end, because when she first became Speaker, she said that impeaching the president is off the table, meaning that's one thing she is not going to consider. Why not, for God's sake? You call yourself the opposition. You've never seen a situation like this where the law has been completely ignored, where illegal wars have been started, where thousands of people on our side have died, tens of thousands, if not more, on the other side, if there even is another side. All because some guy lied, doesn't know what he's doing, horrible things like that. Anyway, Cindy Sheehan, and she's also a mother of a soldier who was killed in this ridiculous campaign, says if she does not, if Nancy Pelosi does not start doing this, she's going to run in her district against her in 2008. And yeah, 2008 will be too late to impeach the president. Not too late to hold him for criminal proceedings, I don't think. But it just would be nice to see somebody actually do something for once. And I don't see anybody as better qualified than someone who has felt the pain. All right. Hopefully that'll go somewhere. Hopefully we'll see some more good news, people challenging and fighting and things like that. Emmanuel for Off the Wall. Have a good night.
this is Randy Newman. You're listening to WUSB in Stony Brook. Support me and the station and your country.
I've been around the world, had my pick of any girl. You think I'd be happy?